Over the last 4 weeks, we have been traveling together through what it looks like in real terms, in everyday, practical, real deal terms, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. We've been doing this because over the last 3 years here at Mosaic Church, we've talked about what it means to live out the reality of our rescue, to be on mission for God. We talked about the big wave, and we talked about being rescue swimmers. We talked about living for the kingdom. And I think though many of us are somewhat inspired to want to live as great ambassadors for the Lord, it is sometimes difficult to actually translate that into practical everyday terms. And so we started this year out just kind of taking some time to step back and say, what does it look like to be carriers of the gospel? What does that look like? And over the last 3 weeks, here's where we've come from. Week one, we talked about what it meant to be actively kind, to show active kindness, that we are kind because the gospel is kind and because it's been kind to us. So we are demonstrating, displaying the reality of the gospel through kindness, not as an agenda, as a means by which we make the gospel known. And we talked the second week that if we do not actively listen to people, we do not hear them as God hears us, then kindness will be agenda-driven and it will not be tied to the reality of just wanting to be kind. So if you're going to be actively kind to make the gospel known, you better be actively listening to the world around you. And then just last week, we stepped out of active listening into active wondering, that we need to journey with people, that we need to walk not only into their lives as we listen to them and show kindness to them, but we need to give them our lives, be vulnerable with them, and show them, here's my life, in all of its glory and wonder and reality and mess and terror, it's right here, here it is. And we do that because making the gospel known to the world is a journey. It is not simply a message, an explanation. It is a journey. It is a reality. The gospel is not something written on a bunch of pages as an exclusive thing. It is living, breathing, real. The gospel is incredible, and we need to make it known. And so we've traveled down this road because we know something, right? In the scriptures, we are told by Jesus himself, the God, the creator who came to this planet, that we are salt and light to the world. What an extraordinary statement that once we have been rescued into the kingdom of God, that is our identity now, we are actually light to the world. How awesome is that? You walk around and you are light in darkness. You are salt to an earth that needs protection and preservation and flavor and wonder and beauty. Everything salt does to whatever it touches. And we are that to the world. Sent out on mission to be light and salt. That's why we now exist on this planet still. Because yeah, we exist for the kingdom, but we're not there, guys, just so you know. This ain't the kingdom of heaven. Might be cool, but not the kingdom of heaven. So we are here for that. And then Paul writes later on, and he says, we are Christ's ambassadors, the ministers of reconciliation, to take this reconciliation between the holiness of God and the depravity of man and bringing it together in the wonder of rescue in the gospel. We are those ministers of reconciliation. So it's pretty clear. I mean, if we're here and we know Jesus, we're on mission. So we're actively kind, we're actively listening, we're actively wondering, and that's amazing. But the truth is, it's limited if we stop there. Very limited. In fact, I would argue that if that's all we ever do, then the gospel will be felt, but the gospel will never be known. And so the final piece of the puzzle becomes a critical piece, just as the initial piece of the puzzle was a critical piece, because if the gospel is known but never felt, that's a huge miss. And if the gospel is felt but never known, that's a huge miss. And so the two have to come together. And so we walk today into the reality of active sharing of the gospel. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He writes these words, and I love them. He says to them, let me turn there real quick. You can just listen if you want to go. It's page 823 of our Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I what? Preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now he says this, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to many more. Okay, so here's the deal. What's he saying? Of first importance, of the most important thing that I have done, I preached to you the gospel. And here it is, that Jesus came for us, that he more than came for us, he died for us, he paid a penalty for us, and more than dying for us, he rose again, appearing to us and saying, I'm here for you. This is of first importance. So we recognize, according to scripture, that act of kindness, act of listening, act of wondering is awesome. It's important. It matters to making the gospel known. But of first importance, at the end of the day, if you don't actively preach the gospel, then that is going to be incredibly limiting. So if we're going to go out there and we're going to preach the gospel, we are going to share the gospel, what on earth is the gospel? We ought to know that, right? I mean, that seems fairly important. So in my experience of walking out into the world and making the gospel known to the world in which I exist every day, that's my coworkers, my friends, my neighbors, my family. That's this idea of making the gospel known, especially verbalizing the gospel in numerous forms. I have found three things to be very important in my life in the ability to do that. The first thing is this. I have to understand that the gospel is good news. It's good news. You know, that's actually what the word gospel means, is good news, right? It is the good news. Now you all go, oh yeah, it's the good news. That's great. But here's the tragedy of the gospel in our lives very often, is that it is not good news to us. Oh yeah, you received the gospel, I'm sure. Sometime back in the day, you said a prayer, it was good news then, really good news, and then you filed it in your back pocket like most of us do, so you can pull the card out someday when you leave this planet and go, just so you know, I belong to you. That's really what the gospel ends up being for most of us, because we run our lives in the ordinary, pursuing the same things everybody else is pursuing, and we know we're saved, we know we have the gospel, we're thankful for that. I'm not saying you're just one of those people that just got fire insurance. I mean, the gospel means something to you. It's important to you. But as far as informing your everyday life, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Let's be honest. I mean, you walk into the chaos like I do, your kids drive you nuts, your spouse is right there, they're wonderful, but you know there's moments, and you walk out of the door and you get to the office and that's, you know, boom, 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 crisis, 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 and you're on that, or you head to your social networks and it's gossip, 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 and you're trying to, I mean, there's just so much going on and you're just trying to fit in and the gospel's right there, you know you're rescued, but is it really good news to you every moment of every day, every second? Is it really just, wow, I'm overwhelmed by the reality of the gospel? No, I don't think so. And so, first and foremost, I have learned that as long as the gospel is not good news to me, I ain't going to carry it out into the world and make it good news to them. Yeah, it'll just be an obligation for me. What I would call a sales pitch. I've got the gospel, I know it's important, so I'm going to pitch it to you. Because it is important. And when you're selling something, hopefully you feel it's important, right? Either to get money for yourself or that the product's actually worth selling. But in this particular case, if we take the gospel without it being good news to us first, it will just be a sales pitch. It'll come across as a sales pitch. So the first thing that I would encourage you to do if you want to actually carry the gospel into the world in verbalizing, sharing it actively, is you got to preach it to yourself. Preach it to yourself every day. Preach it to yourself in the morning. Preach it to yourself in the midst of chaos. As you walk into the morning routine to get the kids ready and they're fighting with each other and you've just sort of had a moment with a spouse and you're about to take it out on somebody and then you do and it's really bad and the whole thing's falling apart, don't worry, the gospel is there. And what you ought to be doing is going, thank God I'm rescued, because otherwise this would be a really big mess. But now because it's a big mess, God will redeem it, because right after this, I'll probably repent because I have the Spirit in me, even though I don't want to. It's going to be awesome. See, the gospel is constantly there, rescuing you from yourself, rescuing you from the world, rescuing you from death. And the gospel ought to inform that regularly. Thank God every morning when you wake up. Thank God. Tell him, thank you, God, that I'm rescued, that my identity is established in the kingdom of God, that I don't have to pursue things to try to be significant. Oh, I probably will today, God, but thankfully I don't have to. And when I do, I'll recognize it on moments and go, oh, yes, that's right, thank goodness I don't have to do this. Can you imagine, if you didn't know the gospel, the chasing after the wind that you would pursue, the clawing of whatever ladder it is will give you significance, your kids, your spouse, your work, your friends, whatever it is that makes you feel significant, you'd be pursuing that and you wouldn't even know that it is a chasing after the wind, that it will melt in your hands just when you think it. But you know, because you know the gospel. So even though you may pursue those things, you know better. So when they start melting, you'll go, oh yeah, that's right. Thank goodness I have the good news, right? Preach the gospel to yourself. I am rescued from the dominion of darkness, that is from all that darkness is. And I am called into the kingdom of light. That is all that life and freedom and wonder is. Preach the good news to yourself. Then, second, once you preach the good news to yourself over and over again every day, and you're so thrilled by the reality of rescue, then the gospel can begin to be verbalized well. But to verbalize it well, we must be able to explain or articulate the gospel. That is to take words and make them mean something. So to do that, in my experience, there's two things you need to understand about the gospel in explaining it. These are both important because they both matter to your ability to be able to tell somebody, here's what it is. The gospel is explained or finds itself in two formats. The first format is the system of the gospel, okay? That is the means by which God rescues us, how it works. You ought to be very familiar with the system of the gospel if you're going to be able to share the gospel. Because the system of the gospel is the explanation underneath what people will tend to hear, that you can go, here's how it works. And then you've got the story of the gospel, what we call the narrative. So we've got the systematic and the narrative, the system and the story. The system is generally found in some doctrinal terms, okay? So these are sort of terms that if you're not familiar with, you ought to get familiar with because they are important terms in understanding how the gospel works. There are four in its simplest form. There's a lot more complexity to this, but you don't need now to dig into that to be able to verbalize. There are four primary parts to the system of the gospel. I'm going to give them to you. You can podcast this later and listen to it again, but here they are, okay? First of all is regeneration, okay? God makes us new. He does. He takes what's dead and he makes us alive. It's awesome. He takes what's old and he makes it new. These are all words that we call regeneration. The part of our rescue that makes us rescued is that we are regenerated. Okay. Second of all, we are justified. This is a term used usually in court when you are accused of something and the judge justifies you. It means that they make you right. They say, no, you can no longer be accused because you are righteous or justified within that. So, rescue occurs because we are regenerated, because we are justified. The Bible says his righteousness becomes our righteousness. So our sin, that which we are accused of, is covered in his payment, his righteousness. So before God, we are made righteous, not by any work of our own, but by his beautiful grace and mercy. Regenerated, justified. The third term is the term sanctified, okay? Sanctification is the process by which you are conformed to Christ's likeness while you're on this planet, okay? It is a day-by-day journey. And we sometimes think of sanctification as our part in the story and the justification and regeneration as God's part in the story. That is a miss on that. The gospel, when you experience it as fully good news, you will recognize actually is what regenerates, it is what justifies, it is what sanctifies as well. Here it is, ready? Paul writes in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will do what? Will finish it. And you will be totally complete on the day of Christ. Did you hear your name in that sentence at all? No, it's the beauty of rescue. Because you are rescued, there is a work being done in you that will be finished in you so that you will be complete. How awesome is that? And so, yes, do we play a part in sanctification? Sure we do, because we experience the tangible reality of that work working itself out in us. We fight it, we try it, we jump into it, that's us. But whether the work will be complete or not, that's not up to you. God has already made that promise. It's done. Sanctification, the conforming to be Christ-like, is part of the gospel reality, part of what makes the gospel the gospel. And then finally, the word glorification. You and I, when complete, will be back to where we were supposed to be when we started in the Garden of Eden. We will be back in perfect relationship with God, back in perfect bodies, back in perfect minds, back in perfect spirits, back without sin, back in paradise. We will be glorified. And the glorification is part of the gospel working itself out. Part of rescue is that we are regenerated, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are glorified. Each plays a role and each has a portion. But if you are not familiar with those terms, if you can't really explain those terms well, let me encourage you, go and get familiar with them. There's more to it than that, but that is at very surface level. Here's how it works. Your rescue is this. So that is what we call the system of the gospel. You ought to have a good handle on the system of the gospel. And then you ought to have a really good handle also on the story of the gospel. That is the narrative. And here's the story. Ready? There was a God, and he created us. Woo! Starts there. We were created in perfection with the purpose of relationship with God for all of eternity, to enjoy him and for him to enjoy us. That's creation. Then what happened? We messed it up. We disobeyed. Despite the fact that we were bent toward righteousness, we chose sin. Not like the rest of us here who are bent toward sin and struggle with that. Adam and Eve had no sin, so this was a no-brainer decision for them, and they did the opposite of the no-brainer thing. And they chose their own destiny, their own wisdom, their own divinity, and in that they fell. Creation is the first part of the narrative. The fall is the second part of the narrative. We lost everything. We lost everything. And then the third part of the narrative after we fall is rescue. Despite the fact that we lost everything, that we should have been left to ourselves, he came for us. He did. He came for us. He rescued us. He took us back. He sought us out, and we are found. And then the last part of the beautiful narrative of the gospel is restoration. Oh, not only did he find us, but he restores us to our initial place. And we call that glorification in the system. Here we call it restoration. We are restored once again. It's awesome. We were created for perfection. We lost it. He rescued us. He restored us back to perfection. Wow. The gospel. Unbelievable. So, first, preach the gospel to yourself. When you've preached it to yourself a whole bunch and you're totally captivated by the wonder of the gospel, you're in a good place. It's a great place to be. It's good news to you. It'll be good news to everyone. Then go out there and make sure you have a handle on the system and the story. And then what I found in the culture in which we exist here, that of the system and the story, the best part of that in our culture is the story. We are a movie-saturated culture. We love watching movies, experiencing stories, reading books. We love the story. And so God has given us the story. So I recommend what I found, part three, is when you go out there and you share the gospel, share the story. Share the story. So let me give you an example so that you understand what I'm saying. As I walk into my world, my everyday world, I'm going to bump into people. What am I doing? I'm actively listening to them. I'm actively wondering with them. I'm actively kind to them, right? So eventually, they watch my life. Because this is your social networks. This is your coworkers. This is your family. This is your friends and your neighbors. So these are people you're constantly involved in. So they're watching your life. And if the gospel's good news to you, you're living the gospel in both your failures and your successes. And so they're watching this beauty of repentance taking place and joy and wonder and circumstances crashing on you like it crashes on them, but you handle it differently. All these wonderful things. And finally, you know what's going to happen, right? They're going to go, "What is it with you? What is it about you in church? What is it about you in the Bible? What is it about you in your life? What is it about you in joy? What is it?" I mean, fill in the blank. It's at some point it's going to be, "What is it with you, man?" And when that moment occurs, I get to sit down and what's bubbling in me? "Oh, good news. Oh, good news." And then I go, "I've got some good news." I do. So here's the deal, right? I mean, you may not do it my way. I'm a little goofy and animated, so, you know, filter this. But for me, it's sitting there. And I go, "Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, have you ever read the Bible story, the actual story of the Bible? Have you ever had a chance to actually get in there and actually read it?" Most people say no. Because if you ask them, "Have you ever read the Bible?" "Yes." I don't mean like a verse. I mean the whole, you know, the story. No, I haven't. Then I go, "Yeah, you know, I hadn't either for a long time. I hadn't either," because most of you probably hadn't read the story for a long time. And I go, "But let me tell you, on my life journey, I have discovered some pretty incredible things. First of all, I have discovered that we did not end up here by accident. That we were created with purpose and with beauty in mind. I've discovered that. Who knew? I mean, we all thought it was just like a random thing, but it's not. Now, I'm not arguing for evolution or creation at this point. I'm simply saying, however it worked out, he had purpose in it." So I always start, listen, creation was no accident. It was no accident. And I go to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and I lay out the story of creation of a grand artist painting onto a canvas and creating his image into us to be image bearers. And what a beautiful thing. I go to the Psalms where David cries out about the heavens crying out the glory of God. And I go to Romans and I go, the creation was to make the invisible qualities of God known to us and to have us make to known to the creation the image of God. It was a beautiful dance that was supposed to take place between us and creation, going, "He's good, he's good, he's good, he's good." And it's incredible, and I've discovered this, and it's amazing. But I've also discovered something else. Creation is no accident. Suffering and death is no surprise. Yeah, we suffer. Oh, we struggle. Have you ever struggled? Oh, man. Now, if you've been listening to them and hanging out with them, you probably know they're struggling. They generally ask that question when they're struggling, so do you and I. You know, struggle and death and horror and all this stuff, the messes in marriages and parenting, the messes at work, the fighting, for vying for position, all this stuff, no surprise. Because the Bible tells us that after God created us for beauty and perfection, we decided to do things our way instead, and we fell out of perfection. And I go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I say, man, God says that we are dead in our sin now, that we are objects of wrath, lost to beauty, lost to life, and we are found as children of wrath. No wonder the world is such a horrid place. No surprise. Suffering is no surprise. Then I step and I go into the next part of the creation story and I go, listen, creation was no accident. Suffering is no surprise. But in our suffering, God made a promise. Very early on in Genesis, he made a promise. "I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will come and find you and I will rescue you." And he fulfilled his promise. So I tell them, rescue is no myth, man. I'm telling you. The God, this creator, he actually came. Yes, he did. He actually came here. He actually lived for us. He actually died for us, paying the price of our lostness, our horror, and he actually rose again, and it's actually awesome. Jesus says in Luke, "I have come to save what was lost. I've come to find it and rescue it." Yes. Paul writes over and over again in Romans, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What an incredible thing. Good man might die for somebody he likes, but come on, seriously, for your enemy? No, sorry, Bob, not going to happen. Jesus did. We go into Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, any of those, and Ephesians chapter 2, where we were just at. God, even though we were dead in our sins, made us alive in Christ. Wow! The rescue is no myth. It's incredible. And then I go straight from rescue and I go into restoration. And I go, now listen, here's the deal. Restoration is no joke. I'm telling you, man. You see, we think the gospel is about getting to heaven. That's what we all think. Oh, and it is. Don't get me wrong. You do get to be with God forever. That's pretty amazing. Highly recommend that part because the other scenario is not pretty, despite what a lot of books these days say, okay? So the point is, yes, that's bad news if you don't know God, and it's great news if you do. But restoration is not exclusively about then. It is as much about now as it is then. Jesus says, "For this is eternal life, that you..." That's us, would know him and that you would know the one that he sent. That is, eternal life is knowing Christ and knowing God. And if you know Jesus because you know his rescue, then you know eternal life. You live in it and you are part of the kingdom now. And you know what that means? Despite the mess of this planet, you transcend it. You do. I do. That's the good news I've been preaching to myself all day. I live in a transcendent world above these crazy circumstances, and though I find myself in the mess, captivated by the same idols as everybody else, I'm still rescued. It's awesome. And so you tell people, man, the restoration begins now. You stop chasing after the wind like some person clawing for significance because Christ becomes significant to you. Yes, you'll still claw some. Don't worry, so do I. But you will quickly remember, oh yeah, that's right, this isn't necessary. You stop finding yourself devastated by failures and circumstances that you can't control. You stop, things start changing. It's extraordinary. And so I look at them and I go, so I just want to tell you, I mean, you know, whatever that means to you, you asked, I'm sorry. But that's what I've discovered. Creation was no accident and suffering is no surprise. And the truth is rescue is no myth and the fact is restoration is no joke. And in a simple form, that's what I do. And then the person sitting across from me does one of two things usually. They either respond and go, wow, can I have that? Or they go, that's so neat. It's cute. I mean, I'm so glad you found that for yourself. So when somebody does that, you've got one of two options, okay? One is you just go, I'm so glad I got to share. Because is this an agenda to try to convert? No. You just shared the good news. That's all your part is. You were excited. You can still be their friend now because this had to do with friendship, right? They asked you a question. You shared your heart. That's what friends do. And you're like, well, great. You know, well, I'm sure I'll share the good news with you again. Eventually, it'll become bad news to you because you'll hear it over and over again. And then you will either stop being my friend or you will realize it's good news. I don't know which it's going to be, but I love you. See? So we keep sharing. Or we just go, God, I'll be praying for them. And when the opportunity comes about again, you do. For those who respond in that moment, you sit back and you go, all right, where do we go from here? And where we go from here is so simple. It's so simple. God makes it very simple. I always tell people, if I'm in that moment and they go, where do I go from here? I go, listen, here's the deal, okay? First of all, you just need to recognize that you need Jesus, okay? That's a good start. And I call that repent, right? You need to go, oh no, my life isn't going the right direction. I need to go somewhere else. That's what repent means, turning away from what you're doing and following something else, okay? So repentance or just recognition of where you're at, good start, get there. The second thing I tell people is once you recognize that you need help and you repent, that is you turn and go, I wanna follow Jesus, the next thing is to believe. Believe. Believe that he is who he said he was. Believe that he came to rescue, like I just told you. That is what we call faith. Repentance and then faith. And when faith has taken hold, you believe, well then here it is, right? Then start living it out. Obey. Because obedience isn't a means by which you're rescued. We already figured that out. Obedience is a privilege by which you now make rescue known to the rest of the planet. Did you know that? Obedience is not to try to keep you right with God. You're already right with God if you're rescued. Woo! Obedience is the gift given to you by which you make that rescue real to the rest of the planet every day. So your righteousness, your obedience is a beautiful thing you get to do now. I tell them, so go start figuring out what this means. And here's a good starting point. In order to start learning obedience and the gospel, read the Bible, find a good community, get plugged in, right? Start talking to God and start telling your story. There it is, the gospel in a nutshell. It's not complicated. I had 30 minutes. I did the whole introduction, the whole other stuff. The gospel part took me 10 minutes. This is in an elevator practically. See what I'm saying? But I told the whole story. And if it is good news to you, it'll become good news to others. Now, we got actively sharing how to do that, what that looks like, what to know to do that. Is it complicated? No, you need to just go and look up a couple things and get familiar with them and you'll be fine, okay? But we know that active kindness is important, active listening is important, active wondering is important. So when do all these things happen? What order do I put them in, Renaud? Where do I go with this? I wanna get started. I love it, but I wanna carry the gospel well. How does it work? Let me tell you a quick story, okay? My wife, sitting right over here, love her to death, okay? She never heard the gospel all through her middle school and high school years. Never heard that. She grew up here in America, in the American schools. No one ever shared the gospel with her. She never even really knew who Jesus was. He was a cuss word. She got that part. But other than that, not a whole lot. She did believe that there was a God, but no one ever bothered telling her who he was or what he did. She got to first year of college, still didn't know Jesus. No one shared the gospel. She's in her room one day, and this person knocks on her door, stranger from Campus Crusade. Yes, that crazy bunch at Campus Crusade. She knocks on the door. She comes in, a long story, but bottom line is she sits down with my wife, and she shares with my wife the gospel, what I just shared with you, in their version, the four spiritual laws. And so, well, you know, there's multiple ways to do this. She shares the gospel with my wife. My wife looks at it and goes, yeah, absolutely. This is what I need. She prays to receive Christ in that room. Did this person show her any act of kindness prior to sharing the gospel? Not really. Did she listen to her deeply? No, not really. Did she wonder with her and journey with her? No, that didn't happen either. She just knocked on her door, went and shared the gospel, and my wife went, yes. If the story ended there, this would have been a very different story than it is today. But right after that happened, active kindness kicked in. Active listening kicked in. Active sharing kicked in. Active wondering kicked in. My wife was surrounded by discipleships and mentors and people that they actively engaged in her life. And by the time I met her 3 years later, she was a dynamic lover of Jesus Christ. Because all four played into it, they just went in a different order. Okay, so here's what I want you to recognize about what I'm telling you to carry the gospel. Do not create what I've said into a system. Don't do it. Very bad, okay? Just know that two things are always possible. One, the order always gets mixed up, and two, you may only play one of the parts in the order. But they all need to be somewhere in the mix. Otherwise, the gospel is never birthed fully in somebody. So if you just go out in street evangelism and share with tracts, yes, that could be very valuable. But I would encourage you to recognize that if you do that and there's no one to play the active kindness, active listening, active wondering role, it is likely the gospel will land on soil and just boom. And they might even go, yeah, I want to pray, but I've seen millions of people pray and nothing happened. So saying a prayer that Jesus comes into your heart, that is not receiving the gospel. When the gospel comes alive in you and you recognize it for real, where you felt it and you've heard it, that's where it starts coming together. So sometimes, like Paul said, you water, you sow, you reap. You might play one part. You might just play the active kind part or just the active sharing part. But in your general everyday life, that's around the people you're with all the time, they all need to be present in some way. So let me show it to you this way. I have kids, so I love Play-Doh, okay? So here's what carrying the gospel should look like for you and I. You ready? Okay? This right here, I'm gonna call this active kindness, okay? Active kindness, bam, right there. This one right here, I'm gonna call active listening, okay? This is hearing people and all that. Really, really cool, okay? And then I'm gonna call this one right here. This is orange. I'm gonna call the orange active wondering. It's gonna be awesome. And then this one right here, active sharing, what we just talked about, okay? Knowing the gospel and sharing it, it's good news, it's awesome. Okay, so we figured out early on that if active kindness stands by itself, it is an agenda, a means to an end. We don't want that. So what do to remove agenda, right? We actively listen and we go, I'm gonna listen to you because I actually wanna be kind to you. I don't just wanna pretend to be kind. And we meld these two together and we go, oh yeah, that is now a much better version of active kindness right there, okay? And we know that sharing the gospel without wondering with somebody if they're in our circle of influence, that is, we have time, that we're not just popping into a stranger, if we share it and it's not good news to us and we don't know the context of the person, it's gonna come across as a sales pitch. So we take active wondering and the gospel and we merge them together like this. And we go, oh, I've journeyed with this person. They're a friend of mine. They're a coworker. And we, by the time we're sharing the gospel, we know them, they know us. The whole story is melded and it's so much prettier, okay? And here's where it gets really cool, okay? If you wanna be a carrier of the gospel in your everyday circles, this isn't those moments where God calls you simply to quickly share to a stranger on the street or simply to be kind to somebody because the Spirit's telling you. Those should happen regularly too, but in your everyday life where you've got your greatest influence, that's your coworkers, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your social networks, those people, what should happen is you should take active kindness and active listening, and you should take active sharing and active wondering, and you should meld them together. Now, when you do this really well, if this is your life and you just keep doing this with your friends and your stuff, eventually you tell me which one comes first. I have no idea. Which one comes second? I don't know. If all four are present in your life with the people that you have relationship with, that's your spouse and your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your church, because remember, we've said it, right? You're not just making the gospel known to people that don't know the gospel. Who else are you making the gospel known to? People that know the gospel, because you need to preach the gospel to yourself, and what do I need to do? Preach the gospel to you, and what do you need to do? Preach the gospel to me. Why? Because as long as the gospel's good news to all of us and we're experiencing it every day together, that's what the church is supposed to do, that's biblical community, then when we go out on mission, it'll be a natural part of our life, right? So wherever you go, if you want to carry the gospel well, may this be your life. Where you've got active kindness and active listening and active wondering and active sharing constantly just going on. And that's your life. Why? Because your purpose on this planet is to make the gospel known to the world, the good news of Jesus. And to do that, all four of these need to be present. And when you only get to share one little part of it in somebody's life, great, do that. But let that not be your normal world, let that be your exceptional world. And your normal world should be this ball right here. So, great stuff. You get to go out there. You get to do all of this. You get to share. I've given you all this. You should be good to go now, right? Generally speaking, yes. That should be probably a yes. But we'd love to give you a little tool in the active sharing world that might help you. I found a tool recently that I just love. I am not a fan of tracks. For those of you that love tracks, I'm not saying they're evil or bad. I'm just not a fan, okay? They feel like a cop-out a lot of the time. You know, it's just like, I don't want to actually get involved with you, but here, read this. It's really cool. So that's just my take on it. Please know this is a Renaultism. This doesn't make tracks bad at all. I have seen tracks do powerful things in people's lives. Know that. Several of you may have come to Christ because of a track. So God uses amazing things. I just don't tend to love those. But this particular little thing that I found, this little thing, I really, really like. It came out fairly recently. The guys at spreadtruth.com did it. I've read over it. It is theologically and doctrinally just sound. It is beautiful. It is narrative. This is the story that I just shared with you guys. Creation, fall, and then rescue and restoration. It's right here, okay? And this story, when you page through it, it goes through it. Creation, fall, rescue, restoration. And what I love about this is, yes, you can give this to somebody. You can do that because it's well done and it's, I at least am confident it's not totally cheesy and you can kind of go here. But what I'm recommending with this is that you hold on to this, right? And you use this to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Oh yeah. And you're reading over it so many times. Oh, creation. I love creation. I'm so excited. And rescue. And you're just getting more and more excited about the rescue. And by the time you've preached this to yourself a bunch, you won't need this to sit at a table when you're sharing the gospel with somebody else. So start there. Take this, preach it to yourself every day, okay? Then, when you get the opportunity to share the gospel actively with someone, I would recommend this story in terms of the flow of this. Not this brochure, but just be clear on this story. Share the story with them. If they respond to the story and they go yes, and they pray and receive Christ, then it might be a good time to pull this out and say, this right here is everything I just told you. You can go over it. And why? Because now that they know Jesus, what do they need to be doing? Preaching the gospel to themselves. And so you go, here's a great starting point. On the back of this, it tells you in the last page where to go from here. Read your Bible, find community, talk with God, tell your story. Exactly what I just said, right? So this little thing, great tool. Now, here's the cool thing about this little tool, okay? We have, I think, like 500 of these, because I this week I remembered this and found it again and ordered, and I couldn't get enough to give all of you. We're going to order a bunch, don't worry, and they're going to come in the next few weeks. But if you do not have a smartphone, or you do not have internet access, or you cannot get to our website, or you cannot get on Facebook, then by all means grab one of these when you're on your way out, okay? But if you can, here's what we've done. This entire booklet is on the web that you can page through it. Ba-ding! It's awesome, right? So we've posted it on our website right there. There's our website. You click on it and look what happens. It pops open like this. There it is. See the story. Now, open that page, would you? Look at this. It's so beautiful. Oh, creation,
Page it again. Oh, look, there's rescue. Page it again. Oh, the promise kept and restoration. Yep. Oh, yeah, we're there. Oh, perfect. And then final page right there. Look at that recap. Oh, and then, oh, there's one more page. And it's all good. That one brochure is bent. We'll get a new one on the, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, so you get the idea. That's on our website, okay? That's right on mosaicfl.org. Then on our Facebook, okay? We will also post that on our Facebook today, so you can go and get that off of the Facebook. If you have a smartphone, last night I told all the people to pull their smartphones out and download the free app, and it shut down our internet because everybody was like, so we're not doing that again, okay? Because we need the internet, okay? So here's what I want you to do, okay? Don't forget to do this. As you walk out, if you go to the app store, it is a free app called The Story. It's usually the second one that pops up. When you download it on your smartphone, it is that exact thing, and you just use your finger and flip through it, and there it is on your phone with you all the time. So you don't need this, okay? But this is a handy tool. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, when we get a bunch of these in, I'll let you know. And then you can take 5 or 10 of these, and you can have them on hand so that when you've shared actively with someone, you can hand this to them. But the truth is, most of the people you guys share with will have a smartphone or they'll have internet, so you don't have to hand them one of these. You can say, I will email you a link to this thing that will help you. And there it is, all free. Isn't that amazing? Thank you guys at spreadtruth.com. Unbelievable. So there's a tool for you guys. Take that, go utilize that tool. It'll be a great way to remind you of what we're doing. And why? Why? Because if we are going to be the church in our community, it is not enough to be a social justice institution. It is not enough to simply listen to the world around us. It is not enough to journey with them. Those are the fun, easy things to do. And it is not enough to simply take the gospel and go and sell it to the community around us. We carry the gospel. That means we are a social justice institution, and we do actively listen to the world around us, and we do wander with people and journey with them, and we do actively share with them the gospel. So we actively kind, we're actively listening, we're actively wandering, and we are what? Actively sharing. And if you do those, and they're melded into your life, then welcome to being an effective carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we are so excited that you did not just rescue us, but that you invited us onto mission for you to be salt and light to the world, to be ambassadors for the redemptive reality of your rescue. And God, we desire to be effective in this task. We desire not just to make our way through our life to get to the end so we can finally be in heaven with you. We seek, like Paul and the disciples and the men and women of the New Testament and the men and women of the early church who bled and died and lived and ran for the sake of making the gospel known. God, we want to be that generation. And our church here, God, we just want to say to you, we want to be that church. So God, I pray that these last 4 weeks will not just be a neat little journey, something we'll nod our heads to and go, that was fun, that was well done. But that this would be a deeply shaping journey that causes us to become men and women and children that carry the gospel into the world every day. May we become one big ball of Play-Doh with multicolors, being kind and listening and journeying and sharing in multiple arenas as we make the good news to ourselves again, and make the good news known to others. Make it so, God, as we realize what a wonder it is to exist in the light. May we make the light known to men and women and children around the world and around our neighborhoods so that they too would live in the freedom we know so well. We love you, Jesus. Amen.